That's right. We are back for the Parish of the Patriots, the 147th installment, if you can believe that. And it's that wonderful time of the year. It's the time of the year when I start getting Christmas cards from the listeners. I always love that. It's always really neat. This show is, by the way, supported by the voluntary support of you, the listeners. If you want to be a part of that, you can find the information at the bottom of the description page, which nobody usually reads the description page, which is good because most of the time I write that up and it's just kind of a garbled mess. It's kind of a garbled mess, but the long and short of it is we got snail mail, we got Bitcoin, got Monero, got email address down there for you to drop your notes. Always welcome. If you got a weird cryptocurrency, drop me a note for that, and I'll do my best to get you an address for that. As always, we get into listener supporter mailbag at the beginning of the show, but before we do that, we're going to unpack a little personal business. I'm kind of hesitant to get into this. And no, this isn't going to be the whole show. Don't worry. We're going to have a regular show. In fact, we got a lot to unpack this week. I have a feeling that we're going to definitely run long. I've been doing really good lately, making the shows actually last an hour like they're supposed to. I'm pretty sure it's going to be out the window. I'll do my best, but that's going to be out the window this week. I can almost guarantee you. It's going to be long, but we are going to have a great show. If you're new around here, we do have a Christian-specific segment. A sermon, if you would, that's usually around the halfway mark. I don't know when it's going to land, but it will be later on in the show. You'll hopefully want to stick around for that. Like I say, I do want to unpack a little personal business. It's difficult for me to talk about these things, but I was going to wait, honestly, till next week to do this, but I just felt like I'd go ahead and get it out of the way this week. Because it's been, I'll be honest, because I like to think we have kind of a more personal relationship here with the show, you know, between myself and the listeners than pretty much any other show out there. That may just be me, by the way. That just, if you're sitting there scratching your head, think I'm crazy. Hey, that's just me. That's my view towards it. But, because of that, I wanted to go ahead and sit down because it's been a really shitty last, say about 3 or 4 weeks. I went to the doctor, about the week before Thanksgiving, I had a big chunk cut off of my leg to be sent in, for testing. They cut a big old chunk out of it. So I spent Thanksgiving, you know, hobbling around with this like 3-inch long cut that they had to stitch up. That was really nice. And, but we had a good Thanksgiving and, we keep soldiering on. But, a week after Thanksgiving, they did get the results back and, they were spicy results. I'm not gonna lie. They were very spicy results. Stage 4, melanoma cancer. So, That was awesome news. And later this week, I was going to put this off till the next show because later this week I will go to the cancer doctor and we'll go from there and find out if it's spread around, I guess. And they're going to have to, and this is what's so aggravating. They cut this big, ugly piece out of my leg and it hurt like hell, be honest. And I got to go back now and they're going to cut more because they just cut like enough to do the whole surface off to do the testing. And now I guess they're going to cut like all the way down and dish this out. And I guess run some tests and see if it's spread about. And so I'm not really looking forward to that. That's why I was going to put it off. I thought I'd have a little more information for y'all after I'd gone. But I thought I'd go ahead and share this week because I'm going to tell you this is how it's been. So I'm recording on Saturday. So Wednesday evening, I work during the day when I can, physical labor, you know. And I was kind of thrown off with that when the big chunk they cut out of my leg. But I'm like at my last stop, I get out of the vehicle and I step on a rock, twist my foot around and come tumbling out. And as I catch myself landing, I hear my foot pop and I knew I broke it. And so now I broke my left foot. Cancer in my right leg. It's just been amazing. I'm going to get into the broken foot thing here later in the show because it really gave me some dealing with this. It really gave me some insight into the U.S. healthcare system and what a scam it really is. I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. It's going to be part of our general discussion. Kind of gave me, I find insights everywhere. So, but I did want to share what I got going on. It's been kind of a burden. And like I say, I like to share with y'all. I like to feel like we have a connection there. Those of you financially supported the show because you get something out of it, it's extra appreciated. And all I can say is, you know, if you want to pray correctly, you know, that perhaps I'll be healed of this. But if not, you know, the God's will be done, and that my faith will be strengthened, that I can see this through to the end, as I should, as I've tried to live my life as best I can. If you've never gotten around, if you get something out of the show and you never just actually gotten around to supporting it, honestly, I can't work right now. So if you don't get anything on the show, don't worry about it. I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to use the opportunity to beg for money. I'm not going to degrade myself like that. I think we do something here that people get something out of. And if you do get something out of it and you've just never gotten around to, paying some tithes, it would help out if you could do that. But, it's whatever. It'll all work out one way or the other. I will say that the Lord has been good to me. He's blessed me. I do have a little money put back because right now all of this is coming out of my own pocket. I don't, it's not like I have a regular job with a health insurance plan. I did manage to get signed up with insurance. It'll start next year, but I mean, I will still, because I this is probably going to run into expensive tests. And, before the plan kicks in and pays anything, I'm going to wind up paying like $9,000 out of my pocket to these doctors if it runs that long. I mean, I might go this week and they may cut it all out and say, nope, that's it, you're good, get over the broken foot, life goes back to normal. That'll be a blessing. Or or things are going the other way and they're going to want to do a bunch of testing and things like that, could run into a bunch of money. But anyway, I did manage to do that. That'll start next year, so at least there is a limit. I won't have to like borrow money against my house to try to cover these things, because again, you're considered an independent worker by the government, and that's how we were classified. So there is no like, worker benefits or anything. I'm considered self-employed, and honestly, one of the reasons is because I insist on doing these shows and having these talks, and I don't regret that. We speak the truth here, and that is the role God has given myself, and I believe ultimately He has given all of the believers. Now, like I said, we're not going to spend the whole show on that. We're done talking about that. And I hope you didn't tune out, be like, well, this is a downer. We're not, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this doom. Well, you can forget that, because the show is marching on, the 147th installment. It's hard to believe. We got a sizable listener supporter mailbag, so we're going to zip right through that. Starting right off, Grandpa, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, although other than still being unvaxxed, there's not much to be thankful for this year. That's from Jackie. There's another part here, and it was kind of on the borderline. I thought it might be kind of personal information. I didn't share it, so I'll just say kind of off the record there. I don't know how all that works, but I hope that does. Sounds like something you're hoping works out for you, so I hope that does work out for you. Yes, we will remain unvaxxed. I will remain unvaxxed. I can tell you that. I'm not taking that. Like I said, it's Christmas card season. I always wind up every year wishing that I could send Christmas cards to all of you. But the show itself will have to serve as a Christmas card. This card says Jesus is the reason. And I say that because, I'm sorry, whoever sent this, you have a signature like I do. You congratulations, you got on my level. I can't tell if that says Brian or Ben, but just so you know, I did get that, and it is really appreciated. Hi, GPD. I said it many times over. The COVID will never be eliminated. They'll make sure of that. Delta now, and remember, we have to say this properly. Delta and now Omicron. People should be raising their scam flags by now. Yeah, you would think. Did I say scams? Well, we have three scams protected by law: the COVID, the climate change, and the Holocaust. What can I say? Merry White Christmas. And that's from Triangle Whip. And it's just one scam after the other. The Omicron thing, it's so obvious they run this through marketing, before they put this out. Omicron. And I love to say it that way, Omicron, because it sounds like some cartoon villain, like maybe from the 80s, like maybe from He-Man or something. I'll get you next time, Omicron. Who could have done this? It was Omicron. Also utterly ridiculous. Keeping on moving. Hope this finds you well. Love the shows. Keep up the good work. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the year and a great next year in Clown World. Merry Christmas. And that's from Debbie. Very much appreciated. And, we are. I mean, like I said, I apologize for starting the show off on a downer note. I just wanted to share with y'all. But I don't plan to live my life being a downer. I'm not going to be one of those unreasonably, like, you know, optimistic, everything's going to be, I'm a realist type of person. But regardless of how this all turns out, I do plan, however long we go here, I do plan to continue getting the most out of everything I can. Mr. TGPD, God be with you always. Shows are getting better each time. Well, I do appreciate it. I do strive for them not to be shitty. But no, it is appreciated. And I agree, actually. I do agree. I think the shows are, I do think we're continuing to get better. I look back on where at the 147th episode. And when I do look back over all of the times, and I think, you know, each time I can see, I can remember and see how we've just kind of refined and honed what we do here. And I'm real proud of what we've all got here with this show, because I do, I consider you the listeners. This show wouldn't exist without y'all, for the simple fact that there would be no point. If nobody got anything out of it, nobody listened, I would just be rambling to myself. So I do think we all have something collectively very special here. I like to believe that. And finally, received support from Tony. But I do did want Tony to know what I'd got that. And very much appreciated. So yeah, we got around, keep on rocking in the show. Like I said, we had a lot of ground to cover. I know we're going to wind up running long. I'm just going to try to keep it within reason. And I wanted to start off talking about the U.S. healthcare system, because I just had a really truly eye-opening thing in dealing with it, and with when I broke my foot this past week. Because here where I live is quasi retirement type of community, and that means there's a lot of old people. There's a lot of boomers here, and as a result, there's like a doctor's office on every corner. So you would think something as simple as a broken foot, would be just like a breeze to get taken care of. I'm not going to bore y'all with the details, you know, because I if I told y'all the details, I could sit here for 20 minutes and we're on the clock here, so I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you, it wound up being this huge hassle. It wound up being this huge hassle to run around and just simply get something so simple as a broken foot taken care of. I mean, nobody wants to deal with anything like this. With something like, you know, oh, you broke my foot. Okay. Because I broke the other foot like 30 years ago. And I went to my small town doctor at the time. And I said, hey, I think I broke my foot. And they looked at it and said, yeah, we think you did too. And they x-rayed it. The day I came back in. And they said, yeah, you broke it. And they put a cast on it. By the way, they apparently don't do casts anymore. You just wear like these booty things and hobble and do the best you can. And it hurts like hell. But anyway, it was just a very in and out thing. And they don't do that because now I have to call all over the place. And nobody wants to deal with a broken foot. You know, my regular doctor is like, oh, well, I talked to like three different people because I'm like, oh, I got to see if I got in because I broke my foot. And they're like, well, how do you know you broke your foot? And I'm like, well, A, I've done this before. So I pretty much know what it's about, what it looks like, what it feels like. And B, I literally heard the thing pop when I broke it. I mean, I heard it. When you hear it pop, and I could point exactly where it broke. And long story short, when I did wind up getting it taken care of, and I went through this whole spiel, because the way my foot twisted, everybody kept wanting to think it's the ankle. I'm like, no, my ankle's fine. I point right on my foot. It's broke right there. I can tell you it's broke right there. And I go through this whole hassle, and I get the x-rays back. And they look at the, hey, you broke your foot. And they're like, right here. And it's like exactly where I had pointed to. That's where I broke it. But what I realized is, because like I said, I called down to my regular, I wound up having to just go find a bone doctor on my own. Because like you call down to the regular doctor's office, like, oh, well, we don't do that. What do you mean you don't do that? What? You just go to the emergency room or you can go find a bone doctor. Okay. And then when I finally find a bone doctor, I have to go to the imaging center. They don't do that there. You have to go to the imaging center. And you go to the imaging center. And then realize, and this is when it really dawned on me, because when I've gone to my regular doctor, it was the same situation there. Go to the imaging center, and it is just old people in there. It's just basically wall-to-wall boomers, and none of them have anything visibly wrong with it. I'm the only one. I'm walking around with a sock on my foot because my foot swelled up like a basketball, and I got this big walking stick that I use, and I'm hobbling, just crutching along with this walking stick because I can't really walk, and I'm the only one in there like that. I'm in this room full of old people waiting for 2 hours, by the way, in this room full of old people that are getting up and hobbling around just fine. Nothing wrong with them except they're old. And then I realized the U.S. healthcare system, basically the way this is working now, It's just a cash cow money machine. They take these old people that for the most part, and I don't know everybody's personal situation. I'm painting with a broad brush here, but I think it's an accurate broad brush. They take these old people and they just bring them in. They bring them in, see them, maybe write a prescription. Oh, well, we better do some imaging. What's that? What's that? Your joints hurt? Well, maybe it's because you're 70 years old. No, we're going to send you for some tests. We'll go send you and get you an MRI. We're going to send you, get you some x-rays. And then we'll have to send you over to this specialist. And here, I'll write you a prescription. This is just a scam. It's just a scam where they're running these old people in and out by volume. They're making all of this money by volume. They just move them in, move them out, shuffle them over to this doctor, refer them to this doctor, write them a prescription, send them over for some more tests. At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with them besides the fact that they're old. They're just old. They don't want to tell them, you're old, you're wore out. Quit coming in here. There's nothing wrong with you. I remember when doctors used to do that, by the way. I remember years ago, I had a regular old country doctor, and he would do that. He would tell people, they would come in and be like, well, doc, you know, I just heard, what's wrong? Well, I just heard all over. And the old country doctor would be like, well, that's because you're 80. Of course you heard all over. Go home. There's nothing I can do for you. Those days are gone. They sit there, refer, do some tests, and send them over here. That's all they want to do. They just want to bring these old people in, see them for a few minutes, tell them, pat them on the shoulder, how are you doing, blah, 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 blah. Maybe write a prescription, refer you over here, scan some tests, and just cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Bill the money. So with somebody now, you get somebody who's like, hey, what's your problem? Are you old and your joints hurt? Well, my joints hurt. Yes, I don't think I'm that old. But no, I broke my foot. Get the hell out of here, because we don't even, you know, nobody even seems to know how to or want to deal with that. Another funny thing I learned in dealing with all this. This is so funny to me, because you go in and you get this whole thing, like this deer in the headlight look. When they say, okay, well, what insurance are you? And you say, well, there is no insurance. I'm just simply going to pay you. I'm going to pay you money. And they don't know. They literally, I shit y'all not. They don't know what to do. They don't know. It's like deer in the headlight look, like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I went one place and I'm like, well, I could write you a check or you can use my check card, whichever you prefer. And they said, well, we'll use your check card. I said, fine. And the lady couldn't remember how to operate the machine, because they don't ever do that. They bill Medicare, they bill insurance. You go in these places. I was at one place and they had this huge long discussion because they couldn't figure out how to code what they were doing to me. They couldn't figure out how to code it. And they had this whole long discussion. I'm sitting there thinking, well, it's not going to an insurance company. Why do you need to code it at all? And finally they said, hey, you know what? We might, after this long discussion, we don't really need to, we just need to ask it, we just need to tell him, well, this is how much you owe us. You know, it's like, nobody knows how to do that anymore. They're so just, everybody is just adapted to this. Oh, we got to do insurance or Medicare or Medicaid. And when somebody walks in and says, well, how much are you going to charge me for that? How much you get to charge? I kid you not, and this is the last I'm going to talk about this, but on that same note, because they kept trying to all these different places, I kept calling, kept saying, well, you need to go up to the emergency room. Well, you know, if you go to the emergency room, they're going to charge you umpteen $1,000 for a broken foot. I'm not going to pay that. So I'm not going to do that. But I called up there just for the lulz. I called the emergency room and I said, hey, I got a broke foot. Everybody says I got to come through y'all. What are you going to charge me for that? I said, I'm not asking you like for a, you know, a hard figure. Just give me a ballpark. I got transferred three different times. And finally, the last person says, well, I can't tell you that. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, it depends on what all we have to do. Well, I get that, but you could give me a ballpark. Well, no, I can't. So then I say, well, just give me a starting point. What are you going to charge me to walk through the door? Because I know there's a base figure. Some guy walks through the door. This is where we start, and we start racking it up from there. And they said, well, I can't tell you that either. It depends on what level we put you at. Really? Can you imagine going shopping for anything else in the world? And you said, hey, I'd like to buy this doodad you got on your shelf. How much is it? Well, I can't tell you how much it is. Imagine if you hired somebody to say, I don't know, mow your lawn. And you were like, hey, how much are you going to charge me to mow my lawn? Here's my lawn. Well, I can't tell you. It depends on what level I do. What's your starting rate? I can't tell you that. Can't tell you that either. But that is how the wonderful healthcare system is here in America. It's just amazing. The entire healthcare system is built around bilking old people out of their money. you know, and it's not like they're going to be healed because they're old and they're just getting wore out. But that's what this entire system is. It's a money milking machine for the most part. Speaking of money milking, right before I recorded this show, I always sit there and I'll just scan the headlines real quick. I'll just scan the headlines real quick just to make sure, because I'm recording the show on Saturday morning. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't know, a nuclear bomb was set off in Tacoma, you know, and I have no idea. And I wind up sitting here doing a regular show and then I look stupid because it's like, well, the show airs on Tuesday, you know, Saturday, a nuclear bomb was set off in Tacoma and you didn't even talk about it. You're talking about this other crap that we don't care about. So I do, I scan the headlines so that I'm, you know, at least more or less up to speed. I at least know whether or not a huge catastrophe has happened yet. Maybe Clown World has collapsed, but alas, not yet. And I saw this story and I had to click on it and look at it. I was looking on RT and the story, the Joe Biden administration. And by the way, it's funny to me, before I get off into this, have you noticed In like news articles and stuff, how often now they do say the Joe Biden administration? It's like a tacit admission that, you know, this guy doesn't make any actual decisions. He's like a literal figurehead. I've noticed that. I read these news articles and, of course, reading them with the thought always, you know, always bearing the thought in mind that it's bullshit and they're lying to us. But I read these news articles and I have noticed, like in years previous, they would say, you know, Donald Trump is issuing this, or Barack Obama says this, or, and I've noticed how often now the media uses the Joe Biden administration. The Joe Biden administration has told Russia that they had better not invade Ukraine, even though the media has told us, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 different times that they already had invaded Ukraine. Apparently, they have not invaded Ukraine this time. It's like they have, it just admit openly now that they lie. But they will say the Joe Biden administration. I don't know. It's like a little, just like a slight slip that, yes, even the media just they know this guy isn't making any coherent, you know, rational decisions. They just roll him off into a corner and put a blanket on his lap and maybe give him some Legos to play with while his, you know, quite frankly, incompetent staff runs around and tries to decide if we're going to make war with Russia or China or Iran this week. And right now, it seems to be Russia. We'll get into a little of that here in just a minute. But anyway, back to our story. So I look at this article and it says the Joe Biden administration. Joe Biden comes out, dawdled out in front of the cameras. And now, I mean, we've always had inflation. They just denied it. You know, now it's so off the charts, they can't deny it. It's so ridiculous. Even the Clown World administration can't deny that we have inflation. So they come out and they say that Joe Biden says that, yeah, we have inflation at a ridiculous amount, much worse than what they admit. But they had the nerve to say, but things are good. They said that, you know, even adjusting for the inflation, this is what it says, even adjusting for the inflation, the average, the American people have an extra $100 a month in their pocket. Think about that. You have an extra $100. Now, y'all are sitting here listening to this show. You're like me. Y'all are all like each other. You're wondering, where the hell is that? Hey, the fact that they act like, you know, $100 is a huge deal, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is for us, you know, poor working class people, a remnant of the working class that's left. I guess it is. But I mean, to sit here and say, even adjusted for inflation, even though you can't afford food hardly anymore, you all have an extra $100. You have an extra $100 in your pocket. You see, you didn't know. You just didn't know how good things were. Now, setting aside for the fact, for the moment, that they just out and out lie. I mean, we do know this, right? I mean, they out and out lie. But you have to, sometimes it's not technically a lie. Most of the time, I mean, the media, you forget the media. The media just out and out just makes shit up. I mean, we know that. But usually with the middle management politicians, they try to kind of tweak it to where technically, like if they were to be called out, which they won't be because the media is not going to call them out. But if they were, they could have like a technicality. I'm sitting here thinking of Bill Clinton, you know, it depends on what your definition of the word is. You know, I mean, they want to have some weasel word. They want to have some wiggle room, you know. And I was thinking about this. On average, the American people have an extra $100 a month in their pocket, even after adjusting for the inflation. Now you might be sitting there, and I think some of this stuff is to break you more. You know, they do everything to break you down mentally. I think some of this stuff's to break you down mentally. You know, like you're sitting there going, wow, on average, everybody around me, my neighbors all have an extra $100 a month, even after this inflation. And I'm the only one that's more broke than I was last year at this time. There must be something wrong with me. Because that's like the subtle message they're giving, isn't it? I mean, why come out and tell everybody, well, on average, everybody's got $100 a month. So basically the message, the indirect message from that is if after all of this inflation, you're more broke than you were last year at this time, which you probably didn't think was possible because our standard of living has been going in the shitter now for decades. But you're sitting there and the idea is that, well, if your life isn't better, then you're not the average, you're below average. There's something wrong with you. You must be extra stupid. You don't know. You just must be a moron because everybody else has got an extra $100. But you ain't. Must have should have learned to code or something. But you see, you have to look. If we had journalists that were actual capable of being critical thinkers, which we don't. We have a controlled media, and we have journalists that just know how to read what they're told to read. That's what they do. We don't have actual media. But if we did, when Joe Biden comes out and says, on average American has extra $100 a month, even after adjusting inflation. See, things are great. They're not as shitty as you think they are. It's all in your head or you're a loser. If we had somebody that could actually stand up at a press conference and say, well, Mr. President, yes, go ahead, Dan. Ask your question. Mr. President, since you seem coherent today, I don't know what kind of medication they have for you, but I appreciate that you're coherent today. You said that the average American has an extra $100 a month. If you take the top 1% of the super rich out of the equation, out of the billionaires who have had all of this wealth funneled their way in the name of the COVID thing, what does that look like then? Because I can assure you, you would get it. I'll have to get back with you on that. I don't have that information. Well, here, I've got a calculator on my phone. It shouldn't be hard. We can go ahead and figure this up. Yeah, that's the way they work it. Oh, on average. So if we take Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and just the overall top 1% of the super rich out of the equation, you know, because we're still going to be covering 99% of the population, correct? We're just skimming off the top 1%. Honestly, we could probably just skim off. Let's just keep it with COVID. You have, say, roughly a 99.5% chance of surviving COVID. Let's just use the top 99.5% of the American people. Skim off the 0.5% of super rich people. Now tell us what that average looks like. $100. I can guarantee it ain't going to be no $100. They wouldn't even answer it. They would just hem-haw around and be like, oh, well, we'll get back with you. It's kind of like how the FDA, I saw this deal. The FDA uses Pfizer and these other pharmaceutical companies, their data. They don't do their own research. They use their data. And they hand it to them and say, approve our drug. Look at our data. And they look at it and say, oh, okay. Here, stamp, approved for the vaccine. And you have this group of doctors, and they sue, and they say, like, Freedom of Information Act, we want to look at that research, too. And the FDA has the nerve to say, well, we can't get that to you because we're a little shorthanded. We'll get that to you as soon as we can, but it's going to be something like 2096. One of the listeners wrote in and said, people's scam radar, you know, scam red flags ought to be going off by now. If that doesn't give you a clue when they say we can't let you in on the data until 2096, when pretty much everybody involved in it's already dead, or you're all just eating bugs and living in a pod with a computer chip in your brain, or, you know, just waiting in line to get your monthly shot so that your immune system can continue operating, or whatever the hell they have in planned for everybody. We can't give you that information, not until 2096. Sorry. But don't worry, it's totally safe, it's totally effective, and you all totally have an extra $100 a month in your pocket. Spending money, don't, on average, don't take the top 1% or 0.5% of the super wealthy out of the equation, because that's going to skew things. Thank you, Wall Street money managers. You're making the average. You're saving the average. Oh, if we actually had a press, if we actually had somebody that would stand up there and ask these questions. I'm just a regular working guy. I'm no different than any of y'all listening. I'm just a regular working guy. And I can sit here and figure out and look through and say, well, I can see why that's bullshit. Y'all are saying average. You're averaging in the super rich. Yeah, they're doing real good. Y'all funneled all everybody else's money to them in the name of the COVID virus. The scandemic. The scandemic. Y'all funneled all our money up to them, and they got super, super rich, even richer than they were already super rich, but now they're even richer. Y'all harvested our money and sent it to them in the name of this so-called pandemic. And then you have the nerve to sit here and piss down our neck and tell us it's raining by telling us that, oh, well, on average, everybody's got an extra $100 on average. What happens if you don't average them into the equation? Of course, nobody will ask it. We'll ask it here. We all know the answer. But it would be nice. It'd be neat if you could see somebody stand up at a press conference and throw that back at them. But of course, it's not going to happen. Speaking of the Clown World Express, of course, we're back on Russia now. I say Russia and China are the two main. It's like the Joe Biden administration cannot decide who they want to lose a war to. It's like maybe you have a faction. I was thinking about this before recording the show because they can't make up their mind. They demonize China, and then all of a sudden it's like flipping a switch, and now we're back on Russia again. Maybe they're just maybe it's all a red herring, and they're going to just out of the blue attack Iran. I don't know, but they do seem to just focus mostly on China and Russia. And one week it's nonstop evil China, and then the next week it's evil Russia. And right now we're back on evil Russia is fixing. Like I said before, it amazes me. Like, we're not supposed to remember when the same media was telling us a couple of years ago that Russia had already invaded the Ukraine, but now Russia is staging. They're getting ready to invade the Ukraine. I was thinking about China, though. I was thinking about China because I read a story, and I don't even remember what the story was. It was on RT because there was comments at the bottom. Or it might have been, I don't know, might have been on another. It was a site that had comments anyway. And it was something regarding China and this ongoing blustering from the U.S. trying to pick a fight with China that they couldn't win. But anyway, and I saw someone in the comments, and I've seen people make this point before, and I thought we'd kind of get into it a little bit about, because it's a stupid point, but I see people throw this out from time to time and thinking it's very clever, but it's not clever, it's silly, and people haven't thought this out, or people just don't have practical experience. And one of the things, what was thrown out here on the story, somebody made the point that, well, you know, China has to, China basically has to kind of go along with the U.S. too, because, China manufactures everything and the U.S. does not. You see, the U.S. is China's customer. China's number one customer is the U.S. And you have to understand, if you're not an American, Americans are infected with this retarded ass slogan in their minds. It's been ingrained in their brain. The customer is always right. And you see these videos people take of somebody just being a real asshole, like in a store or something, you know, to the help or to like a waitress in a restaurant. And like, if you're from somewhere else and you may be like, I don't understand that. You have to understand, Americans are infected with this thing. They spent their whole life repeating the mantra of the customer is always right. And in some people's minds, the customer is always right means you can be as big an asshole. And you always see these people who hate their lives, who feel very small in their lives. You can spot them because, like, you know, they must like have a really bad job and like a really bad family life, because when they get this opportunity to deal with some poor minimum wage worker at a grocery store or at a restaurant, they take that opportunity to just shit all over those people. You know, you've seen them, and they just act as horrible, and they run around, treat them like they're servants, treat them like they're slaves, treat them like they're so beneath them. And why? Because the customer is always right. I see this argument from time to time. Well, China is in a pickle too, because the U.S. is China's number one customer. Of course, you have to also understand that Americans have this thing where the rest of the world kind of quasi doesn't exist. See, the entire world revolves around the U.S. You see, the rest of the world doesn't actually even exist. The billions and billions of people on the rest of the planet are kind of just side characters. The whole world revolves around the U.S. Now, as far as this attitude, China is the manufacturer. They're the store. But you see, the U.S. is the customer. So the U.S. does have some sway here because China needs us. China needs the U.S. These people that throw this out there probably never managed business, you know, and dealt with like regular customers with like accounts, for instance. So you have a customer and say, okay, so to kind of lay this out where I was going with this is to try to understand it from the, I think would be a reasonable position for the Chinese. So you're running a business and you have contractors that come in, these different contractors come in, you sell to these contractors and you've got this one contractor and he's like one of, if not your top customer. Okay, he's your top customer. Now here's the problem. Every time he comes in your place of business, he's a more and more obnoxious asshole. He comes into your business and while he's there, he insults your other customers because this isn't your only customer. You've got these other people that are your customers too. Again, it's not really a correct analogy, this whole customer thing, but this is way people sometimes, a lot of people I've seen, they try to process the relationship between the U.S. and China this way. So that's, we're just going to use that train of thought. That's why we're going with it. So just bear with me. So you run your business, you have these other customers and their business is important to you too. You got to get their money too, because that's what you're in business for. You got to get their money. But your top customer, one of your top customers, he comes in every time he's in. He's obnoxious. He tries to bully the help around. He insults your other customers in the store before leaving. And you put up with this. You put up with this because they do spend a lot of money with you. So you have to put up with this. And again, if you've ever actually managed a business like that, you're sitting here nodding your head because you probably know somebody. You know somebody that's like that. But you see, most of the time, like on a lot of like, say, a business where you sell wholesale to contractors, these people operate on 30-day accounts. You know, I mean, they come in, they're not going to pay you for every little thing they come in because they buy a lot. They come in, they buy a lot, and at the end of the month, they're supposed to pay you. So one of your things you do as a manager of a business like that is you're watching what those people owe you. You know, you're watching. And you watch for things like, say, it's due on the 10th, and this obnoxious top customer, now he's paying on the 15th. And then the 20. So you got to stay on top of these things because it doesn't matter how much they buy from you if they can't pay you. Now, if you're going to use this analogy of a customer versus, say, a vendor, if you're China, yeah, the U.S. buys a lot of stuff from you, but you have to understand you're talking about the U.S. as a solid entity. But who's buying most of the stuff from you when you say the U.S.? Well, the American people. I mean, yes, U.S. government and such, they buy from you too. But at the end of the day, it's the American people who are buying from you. Now, if you're China and you're the vendor and the U.S. is your obnoxious, shitty customer, you're looking at the American people who are the ones who ultimately have to buy what you're selling. And you're saying to yourself, these people are broke. I mean, the Joe Biden administration may come out and claim that these people not only aren't broke, they have an extra $100 a month than what they had last year. But you're looking at the actual numbers and you're thinking to yourself, these people are going broke. This thing's going to run dry. And all the while, the customer, now they're at the point, they come in your store, make their order, and while you're pulling their order, they just squat and take a big dump in the middle of your floor and then laugh about it. They're at that level of being, they're like, in fact, now they're walking around saying, hey, you know that back part of your store, your warehouse, that back part of your store? Well, yeah, that's mine now. What do you mean it's yours? It's a part of my store. No, that's the Taiwan warehouse. That belongs to us now. No, that does not belong to you. That belongs to us. This is part of our store. It's always been a part of our store. What are you on about? That's my part. I want that now. Hey, the customer. The customer is always right. Now, if you've ever managed a business like this, if you've ever done this, you owe, and like I say, some of you have, and you're sitting here nodding your heads. No matter how good a customer, you've got this situation. Every time they come in, they're more obnoxious. They bully the staff. Now they're making absurd demands, even claiming that part of your store belongs to them. That should be theirs. They're running off your other customers. And they're going broke. Now, at some point, you're sitting here, and I can tell you, no matter how much somebody buys, there comes a point, if you manage a business like this, there comes a point, it doesn't matter. There comes a point you will tell that customer, you know what? Go buy your shit somewhere else. I don't care. Because it's just not worth dealing with them any longer. Add in the fart that you can look and see, this asshole's going broke anyway. I mean, it's just a matter of time. It's like, yeah, I could continue to put up with their bullshit and, you know, yeah, make a little more money off of them for a little while longer. But is it really worth it? Because they're going broke anyway. So why not just go ahead and cut them loose now? Let somebody else deal with them. Let somebody else deal with them. That's setting aside for the fact, by the way, that pretty much nobody else in the world is going to be able to match China's output, China's capability. And oh, by the way, if there was somebody else out there in the world who can match China's manufacturing capability, the U.S. has probably already demonized and bullied them as well. So they don't want it either. Like, I don't know, man, I don't want that customer. You can keep them. The U.S. doesn't even know how to manufacture anything anymore. And they're going to be sitting around going like, well, nobody will sell us their shit. Why? It's one of the great mysteries of the world. I can assure you that under those circumstances, obnoxious customer bullies the staff, insults your other customers and runs them off, and they're going broke. I can just, in almost every instance, any business is going to run that customer off and say, we don't need it. We don't need it. Go ahead. Just take your business. I'll take my business somewhere else. Do that. You do that. Just don't come back. Don't come back and they'll storm out the door. The customer. I thought the customer was always right. Well, guess what? No. Sometimes the customer is just an ignorant asshole and should just get the hell out. That's Anyway, I thought that'd be a fun way to look at that because I do. I see that China needs the U.S. because who else are they going to sell their shit to? I don't know. Maybe the rest of the planet. You know, Europe exists. The rest of the world exists. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they can find some other people. Pretty sure they can find some other people to sell their stuff to that won't squat down, take a crap in their floor, and then demand that part of your own store now belongs to them because they're so... they're so important. Anyway, as I look at the clock, he has predicted, I could tell we're probably going to run long. I might be able to wrangle this in to lasting, to being just to fit within the 1 hour time frame. But to do that, it is that time. It's time to get into our sermon this week, our Christian specific segment. As I like to say, we're time to get into that this week. So if you're not sticking around for that, you should, but that's on you. I do appreciate you joining us for the other part of the show. As for the rest of you, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. And as we do so this week, as we wander off into our Christian specific talk of it. And the way we do this, if you're new around here, the reason why we do it this way is because not everybody that listens to this show is a Christian, and some of them don't want to hear it. I mean, they don't, and I respect that. We do this. We have a specific segment because there's other people like, well, I enjoy the commentary, but I'm not into the religious stuff. I don't really, you know, so we don't mix it up. We try to kind of more or less keep it as a separate deal, and that way the people that do want to stay around and hear it, they can, and if somebody doesn't, well, it's up to them. If they stay around, listen to it, don't be bitching at me, being like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that Christian shit. Well, then you should have turned off when I told you we're starting the Christian specific Christmas. I'm thinking about Christmas. I'm in the Christmas spirit. The Christian specific segment. You should have tuned out if you didn't want to hear the Christian stuff, because that's what we do. That's what we do here. I was thinking this week, because from time to time, you'll run into people who are very, very, and I mean, very hostile. Very hostile towards Christianity. And they're always hostile towards Christianity. I mean, they may be hostile also towards Islam, but very much less so. It's always very pointed towards Christianity. Now, I'm not talking about people that I refer to as agnostic, you know, that are just like, because I do, I've like regular listeners that write to me and be like, you know, I even like listen to that segment. I don't really believe in the religious. I just, you know, you talk to these people and they're like, yeah, well, I'm kind of ambivalent. I just don't know. I just don't get it. It just doesn't ring with me. I'm not really into the religious thing, but I still kind of enjoy that part of the show. I'm not talking about those people. Those people just haven't, you know, I mean, they're just up front. They just, it doesn't click with them. It doesn't, you know, they just not ready to buy into it. I got no problem. That's up to them. That's their own thing. I'm talking about people that are like openly hostile, like atheist spurgs. I mean, that's what I always wind up referring to them, atheist spurgs, that are just very openly hostile. Like Christianity is sneaking into their house and, I don't know, trying to set it on fire every night or some shit. I mean, they're very openly hostile about Christianity, more so than any other religion. It's always about Christianity. They always come back and they're openly hostile against Christianity. I call this hard rebellion against God, because somebody who's just agnostic and is like, well, you know, I really don't get the whole religion thing. It's not really my deal. It's whatever. That's not hard rebellion. That's just, you haven't got around to really figuring that out, if that makes sense to you or not. That's just trying to figure things out. I'm talking about hard rebellion, really like working and having an antagonistic, hostile attitude towards the faith. And I find this curious because, you know, if you look at, I mean, if you believe in the natural order, because, and this I find amazing too, because you'll get people and they'll be hostile towards Christianity. They'll be, very atheistic. You'll have people that'll be atheistic. But you'll ask them, well, do you believe in the natural order? And many times they'll tell you, well, yes, I do. Well, then who made that? I always look at the natural order as like the automated system that God set up on this earth so that he didn't have to fool with it. You know, he didn't want to micromanage the planet. He has the natural order so that things more or less will keep in balance. If they get out of balance, the natural order puts things back in balance. It's supposed to run itself for the most part. It amazes me when you have people that'll say that they believe in the natural order, but yet they don't believe someone created it. Well, where did it come from? Well, it's just a set of things that people have. No, because the natural order goes beyond what people can control. The natural order is the automated system that makes things on this rock and this realm that we live in function and more or less stay in balance. That's not to say they can't get out of balance. They can, but the natural order will always be fighting against that to put things back into balance. But back to the question. What causes people to have just a very open, hard rebellion against the Lord? Because if you look at the guidelines, if you look at the natural order of things, you know, I realize that the Bible can be confusing, can be hard to understand. You know, it has to be understood on a spiritual level, and that's difficult. That's difficult for most people. I understand that the MCC has completely abandoned the faith and just gone chasing after the world and adopted essentially a capitalist business model to run their congregation. I get all of that. But you don't have to read them. I mean, yes, you should read your Bibles and try to understand and grow in your knowledge of God as a Christian believer. That's why we're here. We're supposed to increase our faith. We're supposed to be accomplishing something. We're supposed to be maturing so that when we leave this earth, that we're spiritually mature, so that we're ready for the kingdom of God. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. But I mean, just as a general rule, if you can understand the natural order, you pretty much understand God's laws. You don't have to be, for instance, you have to be a Christian believer to find homosexuality repugnant. Why? Because it's against the natural order of things. You just look at it and be like, well, even if you're not a Christian believer, you can look at homosexuality and say, well, that's not natural. It's not natural to be doing man on man amyl. It's not natural. It's called our democracy and our freedoms and our and who we are, apparently, according to the narrative. Not going to get off on that tangent. But the point is that it fits in with God's laws. I find it curious because if you look at God's laws, you know, and the guidelines, you know, and there's nothing really, when you boil it down to it, and again, God's laws, the natural order, all of this falls in together. There is nothing, anything you look at that we're cautioned against, all of those things, if you look at them logically, in a logical manner. They're all self-destructive. I mean, for the most part, God's laws can be summed up as don't do stuff that's self-destructive, spiritually self-destructive, but also ultimately physically and mentally self-destructive things. Now, I say you have to encompass this together because, like, you can go through your Bible all day long and there's nothing in there about don't do black tar heroin. You're not going to find a passage in your Bible that says, hey, don't do black tar heroin. But anybody with any sense can say, well, it's against God's laws to do black tar heroin. Any Christian believer, you're a Christian believer, you listen to this show, I could ask you, is it in God's laws to, you know, is it against God's law to do black tar heroin? And you would say, yes. Now, if I said, point to your Bible, show me where God specifically says don't do black tar heroin. Now, you might get confused and be like, well, I can't point to where it says don't do black tar heroin. And then I could be like, ha ha, see, it's not against God's law. Now, give me the needle. Give me the needle for the black tar heroin, because you can't point in here. But you can, because God's laws are summed up as, you know, don't do these self-destructive things. If you everybody knows, everybody with any common sense knows, if you do black tar heroin, you're going to screw yourself all up. It's going to be physically destructive, mentally destructive, spiritually destructive. You're destroying yourself. So you know that that falls in under God's laws. It's the natural order of things. If you're doing black tar heroin, anybody with any sense knows you're in violation of God's law. Why? Because you're destroying yourself. These are not hard guidelines that God gives us. And when I say hard, they're not difficult guidelines. They pretty much summed up as don't do this stuff that's going to screw you up in the head, screw you up your body, screw up your spirit. That's it. This isn't really that difficult. And yet, you have people that are very hostile, very hostile. You have to wonder where that comes from. Because God, here's the thing. God doesn't force us to do anything. People seem to have this weird disconnect. On the one hand, people will tell you they're like hostile towards God because he wants to run my life. He wants to tell me what I can and can't do, but he does not do that. You have free will. Let me say it again. You have free will. God ain't stopping you from doing anything. You've got free will to do with your life what you will. This is your life. You've been given it. Now, what are you going to choose to do? You're going to choose to grow and mature spiritually and try to reach a higher level of understanding, a higher state of being, and ultimately spiritually mature for when you inevitably leave this earth, you're ready for something better. Or are you just going to spend it doing whatever the hell, black tar heroin, whatever the crap? That is up to you. People will sit there on the one hand and be hostile towards God because it's like, God is trying to boss me around. He's trying to tell me, but he's not. I mean, he's telling you, like, if you do these self-destructive things, it's not going to end well, and it never does. He's always right. But you're free to do them. Then oftentimes, the same people will flip back around, and when something happens, you know, they say, well, why did God allow that to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? Because you've got free will, because all people have free will. If some asshole decides to go out and I don't know, commit a mass murder, you know, it's because he has free will. We all get free will. That's the price of free will. Otherwise, it would be like God would be micromanaging, which usually the same very people were bitching about before. Like, God's trying to micromanage and boss us around. He can't. He can't, because I don't believe in any of that. How dare he try to boss me and micromanage me around, flip around and say, well, how come God allowed this to happen? It's a contradictory point of view, because people have free will. People have free will to go do evil. People have free will to be as degenerate as they want to. People have free will to be as charitable as they want to. To lift people up, to do something good for somebody, even when there's not going to be anything in it for them. They have the free will to do that too. You see, the free will is yours to do with as you choose. That's the whole point. What are you going to do with it? If we didn't have free will, we would just be mindless automatons and there would be no point. We would just be, I don't know, chess pieces, checkers, just being moved around on the board by God. We wouldn't have any free will. There wouldn't be any point. Got to have free will. The free will is the whole point. When I say people, they're openly hostile to God, And what I call a hard rebellious state. A hard rebellion state. They're hostile towards the Lord. See, I think that is actually, I think that's pointed to the Lord, but it's actually pointed towards themselves. And what I mean by that is, people want to do something, because whenever I see people, whenever I read people, whatever the case may be, that are very openly hostile against the Lord, I always think to myself, what is it that you're wanting to do? What is it that you're wanting to do that you know you're not supposed to? And you see, it's not, I mean, God's not sitting there just bullying you. You have free will. You can do whatever it is you want to. But I always wonder, what is it that this person wants to do that deep inside, in their heart is going, you know that's wrong. I believe the most time when you see people who are in hard rebellion, I mean hostile rebellion against God, what they're really angry at is the fact that deep down in their heart, they know what it is that they're wanting to do, or that they are doing, or what they are going to do, what they've determined in their heart to do. What it is, they know deep in their heart that it isn't right. And they want to justify that. But they want to do whatever it is that they want to do, but that voice in their heart is telling them, it's not right. Their spirit is going, don't do this, man. This is self-destructive. And they're angry and they're in an inner conflict with themselves. The Bible warns against being double-minded. So on the one hand, their very spirit in their heart is saying, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. But they want to do it anyway, and they want to justify that. So you see, the reason I have this feeling that it's wrong is because these people have been telling me it's wrong. Although in current clown world, I can't imagine anything degenerate or anything sinful being told that that's wrong. But nonetheless, it must be because these God-following people, they're the ones that say it's wrong. That's the only reason I have this gut feeling that what I'm doing is wrong. And if I could just get rid of that, then I could go on without any kind of voice inside my heart or any kind of feeling in my heart saying, yeah, you really shouldn't do that. It's like your spirit going, man, bruh, you're going to get us all drugged to hell here. Quit. No, it must be God's fault. It must be God's fault that I don't think he exists. It must be his fault that I have this feeling inside that what I'm doing is incorrect. Must be these people who go around and believe this stuff that have nothing to do with me. It must be their fault that deep down inside I have this feeling that what I'm doing is wrong. Whatever it is that I'm determined, bound and determined that I want to do. So in other words, the heart rebellion isn't even necessarily against God himself. It's against their own spirit. It's against their own soul. It's against their own heart that says, you know what you're doing is wrong. No, I'm going to do it anyway. You know it's wrong. You know it's not right. But I want to do it anyway. I'm going to justify it. There will be no consequence for it. Now, again, I'm not talking about people that just are kind of ambivalent towards like, hey, whatever, you know. I mean, maybe they just see it as just a quote-unquote religion. No different than Buddhism or whatever. I'm talking about open hostility. I'm talking about people that are hardcore atheists. Don't believe in it. And I'm not talking about, and by the way, to point out also, when I talk about this open hostility towards Christianity, towards the Lord, I'm also not talking about the Jews either. I mean, the Jews are openly hostile towards Jesus, but we know why that is. I mean, that is clearly spelled out why that is in the Bible. By and large, that is just how it is for them. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about regular, run-of-the-mill people who are just, they're just very hostile. I mean, hostile towards the faith, towards the Lord, towards Jesus Christ. And ultimately, like I said before, I do believe that that's ultimately a fight within themselves. You are seeing it manifest. You are seeing an internal struggle, an internal fight within themselves being projected, being manifested and projected out to the rest of the world, projected on to the believers. Because I don't know about you. I'm a Christian believer. Obviously, we're doing this show. I'm a Christian believer, and I don't go around beat people over the head. I don't go around and like when I see people doing something that's self-destructive and sinful, I don't whip over to the side of the road and jump out and start grabbing them by the collar and shaking them and saying, "You're going to hell." I don't do that. I don't think any of you do that. If any of y'all just run around and made it a point to, like, you know, try to bully people into not taking up self-destructive behaviors, do any of you do that? I don't. So it's not like Christian believers are going around forcing people, trying to force people to quit being self-destructive. Might shake our heads in wonderment that people do things that are so self-destructive. But we're not going around like forcing anybody to do or not do anything. I do believe at the end of the day, what people are really angry and really struggling with in these situations is that within themselves. That which they feel within their own hearts, that voice that is telling them you're on the wrong path. Well, lo and behold, we look at the clock and I actually managed to do it. I really thought this was going to be a show where I ran maybe even an hour and a half long, but I managed to do it. I managed to wrap it up within the hour. I'm sure Sven Longshanks is happy. I don't believe it. He actually managed to get it right. You know, making it a habit. Getting the shows in with the correct allotted amount of time. So, yeah, I'm glad we were able to do that. So, we're going to wrap up on that note. I do appreciate it. It's like I say, this is that time of year people start sending me Christmas cards. I always wish I could send them back, but just consider these shows as me sending the cards back. I really do appreciate all of y'all that tune in and listen every week and I call it a fellowship, and I realize we don't meet up IRL. This is just on the show. But I do consider this more than just like a podcast, just a show, like among any other shows. I do like to believe that there is something, a real interconnection that we have through this show. And maybe that's just a perception. Maybe it's an incorrect perception on my part. That's possible. But that's the way I feel, and that's the way I choose to feel. I'm going to embrace it. So I do appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of you listening. I do appreciate those of you who financially support the show. And again, if you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We're going to wrap it on up and back on out of here. Don't forget, I do go on Fridays with the Daily Nationalist with Sven. It's always a fun discussion. And, you know, spoiler alert, I may not be supposed to do the spoiler. I don't know, but just a spoiler alert. I think we will be doing some a few roundtables coming up for long with Sven and Dr. J and myself. I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but those are always a lot of fun. So we just keep your eye out for it, because those are things you're not going to miss out on. And when those do happen, I will try to mention them here on the show, because it's always a lively discussion. Those some of the more fun things we do here is when we all three get to sit down and have a lively discussion. So we're going to back on out of here. And again, we'll see you right here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.